CliffCentral.com.
By the way, Mubs, Biv says Blue Man Group does performance dance technology and it's just mind-blowing. It's difficult to explain, but you will love it. It will entertain you, I promise.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll put it in the reserve tank for now. I got to tell you, I'm not hugely motivated to go to theater, but you never know. Things might change. All right. Are we ready to meet our guest for the morning? I mentioned just a second ago, his name is Terence Titi Tlatshwayo. He is in the Lead Me As I Lead You movement. Now, this may be a difficult thing to discuss because we don't normally see men as being the victims.
No.
Usually whenever anything is wrong in society, it's because of the men. And that's not a perception thing. Right?
Yeah.
Men are responsible for a lot of the trouble we have in society. They're responsible for a lot of the complications and the confusions and the problems. And the stuff that goes wrong is often because men are aggressive and violent and they do terrible things. And that's not true for all men, obviously, because there are men on the other side of the spectrum who get abused by women or by other men, but who basically do not have an easy time of all of this. No, you bring him in. Bring him in. Let me meet the guy. And we thought we would get somebody in here who could tell us about this. And his name is Terence Tlatshwayo. It's very nice to meet you. Do people call you TT? Is that what we got to call you?
Yeah, they call me TT.
Nice to meet you, man.
Sweet, my guy. Yeah.
You well?
No, I'm super.
Did cool. You agree with my intro? Like, it's very hard to think of men as being the victims in society.
Yes. I mean, look, we have challenges of men that, you know, let me just put it using myself.
Sure.
I was in a relationship and I was physically abused.
You were with a woman and she hit you?
Yeah, she hit me. And secondly, it also included emotional abuse, right? Because she'd manipulate me emotionally. Now, for me, how I reacted to the whole situation, it made me mature instead of reacting to her in a violent way. So I do agree with you that there's a lot of men that are going through abuse and they're not talking about it, because if I come to you guarded, you'll laugh about it. You don't even expect a man to be hit by a woman.
Yeah, guys,
exactly.
We're not good at being sympathetic to other guys who are in that kind of situation. We immediately assume it must be their fault. Why are you so weak?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. A lion.
Yeah. And guys, we don't yet have a lot of the emotional vocabulary that we need.
True.
To be able to actually sit down and talk to each other and go, geez, God, you know, tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, women are good at that stuff.
True.
It's instinctive. It's partly evolutionary. Mm-hmm. Whatever the fact may be, women are able to talk about their feelings a lot more than men can.
Yes.
And we're always looking for a way to one-up each other.
Yes.
Even if it's subconsciously. Men are always like, who's the alpha male in the room?
Uh-huh.
And if you come in and you admit to me from the get-go, listen, my girlfriend or wife is abusing me. I'm not going to know what to say to that. I'm probably going to make fun of you.
Yeah, and you're raising something quite important there, that, you see, when we have our relationships with our parents, and women are always taught to express themselves.
Mm.
But with us guys, even if you go to your old lady, she'll say to you, know, keep quiet about it. I'll address the issue on your behalf. Instead of pushing us to be able to stand up for ourselves, that, mom, look, I'm hurt. Because currently there's a program that we're also dealing with prisons. There's a lot of men behind bars that are there because he decided to shoot or kill a guy that his wife was cheating on him with. And that's why we're trying to bridge, to say, can we have men coming out, be bold to say, look, I'm hurting, right? Allow me the platform
Mabs, when last did you meet a man who said he's hurt?
I cannot think about the last time I heard a man say that he's hurt.
Mm-hmm. And it actually, this is the paradox of this situation, is that if men just admitted that some of the time, they would be the stronger man. They would be the stronger creature.
Exactly.
They would be happier. They would be more, you know, self-actualized. Instead, they don't admit that they hurt,
and
they react violently to stuff.
Yes, then it's bad. It's bad. So that's why I'm looking at my age group. a lot of us are going through serious emotional hurt. And at least I've had access to men that, I mean, I'm talking about, there's men who are, over the age of 50.
Yeah.
They've decided to confront me and tell me their stories to say, look, man, you know, I just found out that four of the kids that I have with this woman, only one is biologically mine. And the other three, they are not my kids. Now, what is this 60-year-old supposed to do in that space? And the woman knows that the man that has been coming home, being introduced as an uncle, a distant cousin, is actually a biological father to the other three kids. So, but what happens is the man, remember, we are taught to believe we are kings, mm-hmm. right? We carry this crown, even though it's invisible, but we carry this crown. Eventually, when another man enters a territory, you're dethroned. Mm. You feel helpless, you feel weak. So we rather say the energy that you have to go and fight, that negative spirit, can you just capture it? Use it positively. You know, just go out there, be a change champion, as a wounded healer.
So just tell me about your story quickly, Terrence, because I don't know too much about it. So you were in a relationship with a woman and she would physically and emotionally abuse you.
Yes.
How long did this go on for?
I was in a relationship with her for at least 4 years.
So how long into the relationship before she started showing her real colors?
The second year into our relationship. And, you know, I tried to blame myself even for it. But the second year into our relationship, and by then I was not even working.
Yeah.
Right? So there were financial issues adding to that. But the problem is she came from a home where communication was not served on the menu. It was an issue of react. So right. I fell victim to that. And it started, you know, so small when you just took into and she just punched you.
She hit you in the face?
Yeah, in the face, across my face. The last time that she did it, she did it in the presence of my
mom. She punched you with a fist?
Yeah, in a fist. And I would just take it, no, man, don't do it.
But hang on, you said she punched you in front of your?
My family members, my sisters and my mom. And in fact, that was the last time that I decided it's off completely. I kept forgiving the woman because I kept blaming myself. Mm. And you remember, she was the first one, first woman that I felt I'm ready to start a family with, I'm ready to build with. So I kept thinking, no, I don't want to become one of those men from my own community. You know, I want to be a different kind of man. So it happened that she would punch me with a fist at time and I just brush it off until she lost it completely because I was making an account for her actions. And you see, sometimes as a man, you bottle things up, but when the day that you passed out, you reveal every detail of it from 10 years back. You say, in fact, it started 10 years back. This is what happened. Now, the more you start talking, and then to her, she couldn't defend herself. She couldn't defend herself by saying, no, I didn't do it. Everything was there. So for her, it was to hit me on the face.
Now, if she wasn't hitting you, you said she emotionally abused you and there were financial issues. That gives her another handle to give you shit over. And when you're a man who isn't bringing home the bread.
Sure.
You know, that's tough.
Big time.
Because then you're emasculated on that front too. You don't have any.
At all.
Yeah, you don't have a role. You don't get to be the boss of the house if you don't bring home the bacon.
Yeah.
You know?
I even got a nickname because by then I was not working. So there's a name called Malamban. Mm. I mean the poor guy, the one that has nothing. Yeah. And that was my nickname for at least 3 years when I was with her, to a point that I it was so bad that I would be compared to other men. And I knew what I was capable of. I knew I was patient with myself. That's the other thing. I was patient with myself. I knew what I'm destined for. But when someone tries to influence your own destiny, they want to fast track it because they are taking what's happening in the outside world, bring it in the home. Now, I had to go through a process of being compared to other men. To say, but dude, you still, you know, you're wearing Kayo's sneakers. Someone is wearing a Cavela out there. And I'm not about that. My focus is I need to save up for my education. I need to be able to do 1, 2, 3, and 4 and build for our own family.
So she even made you feel bad about that?
Big time, my guy. Oh. Big time. I mean,
What kind of emotional abuse did you get? Was she calling you names? Was she making fun of you in front of your friends?
Check this one. I So I decided to get a job as a general worker. It was tough. So I used to work at the road K101, the old Pretoria Road.
Yeah.
So I was doing cleaning potholes there, you know, and all of that, picking up the papers. I was getting 1,200 rands out of that money. I believed I was being a man, I was doing right. So when I come back with that money and I'll be told, what's this? And you see, now it hits me because now, and that started to impact me on me as financial abuse because I need to do more than I can. And I'm forced to do these things. And I felt less of a man at times because she would tell me, no, my friend's boyfriend has done this and this for her. So I decided, there was a time she was pregnant. So I said, no, let me make a baby shower for her. So I spoke to her friends and I organized it. It was fine. But she complained that the toys and the gifts that were presented on the day were not top-notch. They were not from Toys R Us. You see, now, automatically, you just give up on everything that was supposed to be fun. You're thinking, no, I know, there's something wrong about me. There's something that deals with your dignity. It deals with your ego as a man. So it was deep, my guy.
How much of this comes from the fact that we have a massive gap here? Like, you know, I suppose our parents' generation lived very differently to the way we live. And particularly if you come from the townships.
Yeah.
Because your parents would have had very basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been, if they were lucky, in an actual house.
True.
Because a lot of people grew up in shacks.
Yes.
There wouldn't have been a lot of money to go around.
Mm-hmm.
And things like, for example, discussing your feelings were not a priority because survival was a priority.
Mm.
So all that stuff gets pushed to the back. And it takes more than a generation to work that out.
Hard. Hard.
And that's not something anyone else can do for you, right? It's something
exactly.
you have to do yourself.
Mm-hmm. You own you. So it's a...
How did you break out of this, man? Because when you're in a relationship like that, or if you're a guy and you've got all your self-esteem smashed against the rocks, I don't know how you come back from that. I mean, there's no one to help you. Guys don't get help.
Yeah, you know what I did? I've the other part of me that was positive is that I come from a traditional background and I was always told that you are a leader. You know, you are a leader, behave like a leader, speak like a leader and all of that. So when I was in a position, I did break down, I did go through the emotional pain of it, I cried and all of it, but I then said, how can I find a solution to these issues? I started reading about other men's stories. I started listening to other radio stations that would discuss how men have gotten out of it. And one thing that always kept me going, I said, by then I was 28. And I said, you know what? I have so many years ahead of me. Let me, you know, just take the pain, take it like a man. Take it like a man. Let me go through the fire. I'll survive. And deeply, I applied emotional and self-introspection to say, how did I contribute to this? I was able to even criticize myself for the things that I've done. And I started accepting the situation for what it is. And I started to accept my own role in the whole breakup of the family that we were trying to build. Because I also contributed. I had to be true to myself as well to say.
You said you have kids with this woman.
Yes, we have kids.
So if you have kids with her, do you still have to see her?
No, in fact, you know what I did? I took my kids away from her. I'm even raising them.
On your own?
Yeah, I'm raising my boys. I live with my young kings. They visit her.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't have to see her.
No, I've even planned a system in a way that on Fridays after school they go to her, and then on Mondays they come back after school. So I don't have to see the woman because I don't even want to confuse my kids to one time. You know, yeah, man, at times you love the person. You don't hate them. It's just that issues that have come in have caused for you guys to separate. So I'm also protecting myself from being emotionally vulnerable because I don't know how she's transformed now. Maybe she's, you know, I've had a thing for some thick women. So probably she's, you know, and then now I could easily lose it. So I'm also keeping myself on an emotional discipline to say, let me just deal with the system in this manner. I'm raising my young kings, and that's it.
That sounds like the story of so many women in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that there are probably men who have your story, but there are way more women who have to put up with the same thing, where they become the one who raises the children.
Yes.
They're the one who has to put up with an abusive spouse.
Exactly.
It's just... not the story that we're used to.
Yes.
True. And then what kind of reaction does this provoke from other women and other men?
Yeah. You know, Garrett,
when you tell them this story, what kind of response do you get?
It's so surprising. A lot of women, they become shocked that I'm a man who's raising his kids. But also, some of them want to take advantage of me, because what they start doing, nah, it's, oh, so you're raising your kids. Now, this is a woman who wishes that her child had access to their dad. Now, I'm a man that's decided to take his kids and live with them. Now, they're thinking and hoping that I'd be that man to their kids. Mm-hmm. So they want to take advantage of me for that role. And that's why it's even difficult after you've been through a very rough relationship with a person that you've loved before to commit. It's not that you can't love. It's an issue of you're wiser now. You know what you want. You know how to run away.
But I'm imagining it's not easy for you to have other relationships now.
Now I've opened up myself to receiving love. I've healed. You know, for a long time, yes, I did shut myself down. But now I've opened up myself to receiving love. And coming to the studio, I did see some beautiful roses. So it shows that I'm on the right path.
And other men, your friends, when you tell them the story, do you find that there are a lot of these guys who suddenly open up and tell you their story and it's similar?
Yes. You know, actually right now on my way, you know, I came with one of my guys, and he decided to relate the story to me that he's been in a relationship for 6 years with this woman. And just when, at the time that he thought everything was fine, she got a job and she left him. And now it's still dealing with him to a point that he's become an alcoholic.
Yo.
Right. And he got himself arrested because he felt he needed, he's driving the Toyota. We call it the Kentucky Rounder. And she started going out with the guy that drives the GTI. So he wanted to compete. He's not competing with himself to correct what he needs to stand for. He started competing with the other guy. And that actually pushed for him to end up being in prison for at least a year. So he was relating to me these issues. There's a lot of men that, look at it, I get a lot of calls. I get a lot of messages, personal messages from men telling me that it's hot out there.
Well, you've been talking about this, which is a rare thing. Most guys just keep it to themselves. They go through this hell. They try to compete with each other by getting things. Mm-hmm. So they think a car or a house or a gift is going to make it better, or whatever shoes they wear, for example.
Yes.
But that doesn't do anything.
No. It starts with you, right? Dealing with your own dignity as a man, dealing with your own image as a man, reclaiming your power that has been stolen from you by society. Because society makes us, especially, allow me to just go back to our own upbringing in the townships. We are made to believe that you haven't made it until you have a car, have a house and stuff.
Yeah, it's all stuff.
But no one talks to us about you being a man that is well dignified, a man that's well presentable in everything that you do.
Yeah, I mean, if you own 17 cars and you beat women, you're a horrible human being.
Yeah.
Whether you have those 17 cars or not. Obviously, exactly. I mean, and this goes without saying. Similarly, if you're a guy who has nothing, but you have a good heart and you care and you're kind and you're loving, mm-hmm. and you want to do everything you can for someone, but you have zero materially.
Definitely.
You don't need all that stuff.
Not at all.
And you would probably make any woman happy.
Exactly. You know, and you know, there's one, I'm hoping that I should be in the future, be able to get this guy to come and relate his story to you. This guy comes from a very poor family. Right. And he lives with his mom. So he was in a relationship with this lady, and she's a beautiful woman. A guy spotted her. So this guy comes from a wealthy family. Can you believe, Garrett, that this guy that I'm talking about, that the one that was the boyfriend, he now works and helps this lady and her new boyfriend in their business. They send him around. And this is something that when you relate to people to say, you know, there's this guy, he's doing this. Now it has become a job. And he's, I don't know, I asked him, what do you do with
it? He was in love with the girl, but now she's gone with the richer guy.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's working for them both.
Yeah, because they send him around. I mean, during the first of the December holidays, he had to babysit. Now I ask him, dude, what's going on? He says, no, but I need money. You know, it's for him now, it's all about the money. To get it. And it's so hard, because when you look at it from the side of the women, it's that blesser issue. But with the guys, we are not talking about it. So at least right now we have a platform for men that are coming out. And what I appreciate about this is that it's black men, black African men coming out, which is something that it's not so popular in our community. If I were to read about men that speak of their emotions, it's through the books, it's been written by a white guy. But now we're having this, and a traditional black man. On Saturday, I was with a certain Inkosi chief, and we in our tribal council, this one man, he just started crying. I'm talking about, I think he's in 70s.
Wow.
He started crying. The issue that's hurting him is that he's been with this woman that cheated on him when he was in his 50s.
Wow. And he stayed with her.
He stayed with her. Now it's starting to hit him hard because he's not able to feel himself. When other men are talking about their other wives, he's not able to comment because everyone knows that what she's done to him, and it hits him. But at least they're coming out as men to talk.
But that's a shameful thing that happens to a guy, and most guys don't know how to deal with it.
No.
And, your response is going to be based on self-esteem and a whole lot of other stuff. But for some guys, they don't have the tools to figure that out.
Not at all.
They don't know how. They're not emotionally
mature.
Actualized and mature enough to be able to know this. I mean, I'm not even. I sometimes wake up in the morning and just angry for no reason.
Mm.
Guys are. We've got testosterone coursing through our veins.
Yes.
We're programmed to fight.
Exactly.
We're programmed to compete.
Mm-hmm.
We're not programmed to sit around the table and negotiate.
No, not at all.
And we're not programmed to, if our woman leaves us, we're not programmed to just get over it and move on.
No.
We want revenge. We're angry. We're hurt. We're jilted, you know?
Truly.
We take it badly.
And that's what's killing us. That's why now I decide, and through my behavior and my actions, I come from a very big family. And from my mom and dad, we are 9. So my dad was a polygamist, had 10 wives. So my mom is his 6th wife. So from my mom and dad, we are 9. And 2 of my sisters have separated with their baby daddies. And these guys, when they started seeing me, and how I was handling these issues, can you believe, Garrett, now that there's two of the guys have decided to take their kids?
They followed your example.
Yeah, and they said,
so they've taken their kids away from your sisters.
Yes. And the relationship is so good. These guys are no longer fighting my sisters. They're no longer calling them names. It's all about, they feel proud. We talk on WhatsApp. They call me, hey, my man, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm going through with the child. And I'm so happy that these are men that have decided to respond to the situation and not react. They decided to say, no, here's a good example. So I've been able, through the Lead Me As I Lead You movement, to influence other men to do what's right. And the great part of it is that one of the guys, it stays with my niece, and it's a girl. It's a girl child. It's for the first time that he has to raise a girl child, but he's doing it, and I'm proud of the guy.
Dude, this is good. You're doing good work. This is awesome. Now, who have we got here in the studio with us?
Here we've got George Kimani.
George, how you, dude?
Yes, I'm all right. How are you?
You're good. Yeah. You got a story to tell us?
Yes, I've got a story to tell you.
Come, tell me about your story. Where are you from?
I'm from Norcombe Park.
Okay.
There in Kempton Park side.
Right.
So basically with my story is about how I came from a really messed up lifestyle, a really bad life.
How messed up?
Messed up as in using drugs, crime and all that.
Okay.
You see? So that's the type of life that I used to live.
Have you got Ben's TV? Someone stole his TV. Maybe when you were still stealing.
Yeah, most people would have thought that way. About a year ago.
How old were you when you started in the drugs and crime?
It was 18 years old.
Okay.
18.
And how old are you now?
Now I'm 21.
Okay.
Yes, now I'm 21. I just turned 21 last month. So basically my story is, it starts there, and how I went with the wrong people and started doing the wrong things, basically. And I come from a good home, you know. My parents are still with me, and I can't say we afford, you know. So basically, a lot of things happened in my life between family and school and all these things around me. And I made a decision to go the wrong way about a year back. And it led me into stealing a car and taking drugs and all that. So that was who I used to be until I went into prison, you see.
You went to jail?
Yes, I went to prison.
Full on prison. Which one?
Leukop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, so, that's one of the better ones, but still, it's still prison, right?
Yeah, it's still prison, you see.
Sure.
So, basically, a lot of people would see that as a bad time in their lives. But for me, it's really changed me. It's really made my life a much, I'm happy.
How long were you in prison for?
I was only there for 6 months.
Hey, a day is long enough in prison,
huh? So, when I was in prison, I met up with a whole lot of people, different kinds of people from different backgrounds. And when I was in there, I also thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? Life is not as hard as I see it, you see, because sometimes it's not like what you have there. It's how you look at it. So now I used to look at myself as I don't have anything, you know, I'm just a useless person, you know. And then in prison, I realized that I've got a special talent. I can do a lot of things. So I sat down, I did some introspection, and I just tried to learn as much about myself as possible. And it turns out that, you know what, all this life and those bad decisions that I was making before, it wasn't really helping me, you know. And, you know, my father always tells me, the same energy that you put into doing bad things and making bad decisions, put that same amount of energy into something good, and you could have something very special. So 6 months in prison, and then here I am, I'm sitting, I've got myself a job, you know, my family is happy with me, everybody's just all right.
Are you guys all getting along again?
Yeah, we're all getting along again, they trust me, you know. Actually, last night we were having an awesome combo with the whole family, it was awesome.
Could you ever have imagined you'd get to this after, like, you know, becoming one of those kids who's just lost their way? And before you even went to jail, when you were starting, the relationship with your parents must have deteriorated. Yeah. You know, the drugs couldn't have helped. Yeah. Would you ever have imagined you'd get to a point where you'd be sitting talking and joking about, like, how positive the future might be?
Yeah, you know, when you're in that type of lifestyle and using drugs, so you kind of dream a lot, you see. But the fact that you are under those drugs just basically means you're just talking. You know, it's a dream. That's all it is at that time. And then you'll dream of something big, and then you'll go and do drugs and sit and do something completely different from what you're thinking about. So for me, no, I would never have thought myself to be sitting and completely clean. I've been clean now for 10 months, completely clean. I'm happy with my life right now.
Hey, all I can say is congrats. It's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
Do you feel like being in prison, because it hardens some people. It doesn't make them softer or more introspective. For some people, it makes them even more, you know, angry and cruel and full of hatred for the world. How did you stay clear of that, especially being so young?
I just made a decision that, you know, I want a much better life, you understand? And then I looked at all the things that I need to do. You know, I look at all the advantages and disadvantages of the decisions that I'll make towards the future of my life. And I realized I can be angry, I can hold it all in and remember all those things in a harsh way, you see. And that is only going to lead me to do something else that is stupid, like going back to drugs. So I just changed the way that I think, you know. I thought to myself, you know what, this, for me, it's not a step down, it's a step up, you know. I'm going to make myself stronger through this. I'm not going to let this be a stone in my life. I'm not going to let it block anything that I'm trying to do. So I just basically changed all the energies, the negative energy, and turned it into something positive.
Who did you hang around with in prison? Because you have to choose your friends carefully too.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. So at first I stayed by myself because I was still a bit, you know, afraid. You know, it's not when you go into prison, it's not, you expect something heavy.
It's not home.
Gangs, you expect, you know. So I didn't want to talk to anybody. But then another thing, in prison, there's a lot of guys that don't necessarily commit crime, you know. There's also a lot of guys that are like me, have decided to change their ways, you know. Mm. And then, like,
there are a lot of people in there for stupid reasons. It's not
even,
it doesn't make sense. Like,
reasons.
You know, they had some weed on them and they got stopped
and
at the...
in prison, yeah. You see. Or there's one guy, it was the most sorry story I could have ever heard. This is the one guy that I stayed with. So this guy, what happened is, he got a girlfriend, you know, and he got the girl pregnant. So this girl was pregnant, and this time he's staying with her, and they're renting a room out, you see. So he tried so hard to support for this girl and for this child that he lost control of everything, and he decided to go and do crime in order to provide for these two people. And this led him to actually getting sentenced 10 years. So when I was sitting with this guy, and then he told me, he's like, you know what, me, I have decided to change myself. And because he saw, I think I was setting an example there. A lot of people could see that I was a completely changed person from when I came in. So that is the person that I stayed with. You just have to look for the right people, people who aren't in gangsterism, you know, go to church. And that's basically how you find people to stay with them.
George, I'm interested in how you and Terrence came together. Like, where's the common ground here?
All right. Through the Lead Mesa Lead You movement, we go to prisons to give mentorship to men that are behind bars, because we believe that it's important for us not only to focus on the actions of the men, but also his soul. So that's where I met George. I met George at the Luka prison, as one of the then inmates. And he then came to me and related his story. And through our programs that we were having with them in prison, he was able to change his life around. But also the key thing that happened was we then said, look, let's then have you go back as a changed person, as a changed champion, go back as a motivational speaker. So in December, we went to prison, and he saw there's a total of 280 now. Mm-hmm. When they saw him, they went mad. They went mad because
they're a celebrity.
Yeah, because they couldn't believe that it's possible for them to change. And I'm talking, unfortunately, also, one of the guys that we met at the Luka prison, he chickened out this morning. He asked me, is Garrett white? And I said, yeah, he's like, yo, hi. And then he decided to stay back. But this is one person that was going to even relate to you, that he was with him, he was on the maximum side of the prison.
Right.
And he's a man that experienced other men being sodomized, and but he was also sodomized. And the issue there is, he went there as a full man, right? But now he's come out, he's suddenly become gay. And he no longer feels women. He was destroyed in prison. Now, when he was in prison, he then, for protection and for him to survive, he decided to give in and become one of the guy's girlfriend. And he then automatically, as the system grows and then you get honored through the gangs, he then became the man. And he started having these young boys become his girlfriends. So he was going to relate to us even how that has affected him now in the outside real world, where he's a handsome young man. But when women, you know, show interest in him, he pushes them off. So what we've done through the process is to say, let's save the man, you know, because these are the very same guys that would come and sodomize your child. This is the same guy that would come and, instead of you expecting him to take your phone, he just puts down your pants and he's done with you, because that's what he's lusting for. That's what he's longing for.
Yeah. Well, you see, again, like we still have to, there's a lot we have to figure out about how people behave in situations like in prison, where there is all this rape going on. And you think it must, survival has to kick in. So you do what you got to do to survive, right?
Exactly.
And we've heard horrible stories about this. But then what happens with these guys when they get out? Because you're not just in survival mode anymore. Now you actually have to acclimatize to the real world.
Yes.
It's a different system. There aren't gangs and girlfriends and all this stuff.
Yes.
So how does it work?
Okay. Now with us, we have an exit program. We are in the process of, which we currently in communication with the Department of Correctional Services. And we've also roped in the NYDA. What we want to do is to build a village, right? For Inkosilanga village, where we're going to now, once they come out of prison, they're going to have programs that are going to teach them about the real world. Because these guys, I mean, imagine a guy that has been in prison for 15 years. You take him out today, take him back to the same community it's going to kill him. So we have our exit point is taking the guys to, the halfway house, which is the Ilanga village. Mm-hmm. And we give them a lot of training, emotional intelligence, spiritual discipline. And now it's coming on all right. We're hoping for it to grow. And we've also opened doors for the men in the outside world that have never been in prison to say, like, let's form a community of men. Let men join hands. Let us speak the same language. Let's break this silence. Let's stop this thing of I'm a king or I'm a liar. Tigers don't cry. We are lying to ourselves. We hurt. We cry. You know, I've been a good example of that. I've lost weight. I used to be dark, like, I don't know, man, because I used to stress so much, but I've survived it. So if I could do it, then the same men can do it. So that's what we are doing, the exit strategy, to accommodate these men, to say, guys, here's a village for all of us. We also have royal camps where we'd have traditional leaders come and address us on those issues, how to be a man, how to defend yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, I imagine also that there is a lot of comfort in traditional kind of behavior and in traditional ritual, and because it reminds you of where you come from and what kind of a man you could be.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And it instills some of that pride that is missing.
Definitely.
But listen, I'm very, very impressed with the fact that you guys exist. Are you being funded?
Currently not. We're running it from our own pockets.
Oh, that's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. We're running it from our own pockets. And we're just hoping that as time goes, we could get people to come on board to say, look, this is how we can assist you guys. What help do you need? You have men that they don't even know. They don't have cosmetic. They don't have that pride as a man, you know, to say I'm a man. Some even own 2 underpants, you know. So we're looking forward to saying let's support men. Support men.
We
have 12 pairs of shoes that are just there. Bring them to us. We'll then give to other men. It gives them. It makes them feel proud. It makes them feel honored.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's little things that we can all do to kind of help each other along.
Exactly.
But it is difficult because you're not going to get the kind of funding that maybe a group that helps women who are abused will get.
Yes.
Just because you know, that's the way the world works is that we don't expect the man to be abused. We expect the man to be the abuser.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you see the challenge with that, Gareth, is that when you go to these other organizations that focus on men, the one thing that they tell us, no, you are young. What do you know? You're still young. You still have a life ahead of you.
Who tells you that? Other men?
Yeah. And especially the ones who have this established male run organizations. And you speak to them and say, for them, it's more about how can I make mine out of you?
Yeah.
And with us, it's what's key to us is the impact in changing a person's life. We don't care. That's why even running it from our own pockets. You know, we didn't say just because we don't have money, we won't do it. We are doing it.
Well, listen, what can I tell you? You guys are doing some terrific work here, and I'm very, very pleased to hear that that things are going well for you. And well done, George. I mean, well done on your story and getting out, changing your life. Mm. Your stories, both of you, give the rest of the guys out there who might not be having such a great time a lot of hope.
Sure.
And we must spread your word far and wide. If people want to find out more, where can they get hold of you?
My mobile number is 073-290-8052, 073-290-8052, and you can even email me on imthenyeko87@gmail.com.
That's a terrible. You've really got to change that email address.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's too much. Nah? But they can probably get it on your website. But
all right.
Yeah,
we'll put it up on the website.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Thank you so much.
imthenyeko87@gmail.com. But we'll put it all up.
Sure.
And then people can find out more.
Yes, definitely.
And as for like raising the kids yourself, that's another biggie because so many men just have children with a woman and they disappear.
Yes.
Never hear from them again. They can't even be found for maintenance.
Yeah. And it's important for men to be present in their children's lives. You see, because you are able to instill your own kind of order in the child's life. Imagine, Garrett, you have a child, your child's being raised by another man, and this man is careless, he's a drunkard.
Mm.
And you come from a home where you want to instill this kind of discipline, but your child comes back home, and whenever the child visits you, speaks to you, the child is standing or back chats or insults you, and it's a normal behavior from that other man. So you need to be able to say, no, let me take my child. Let me save my child. Let me try my level best to create a positive working relationship with the mother of my child. And just forget at times putting yourself over the needs of the child. You know, prioritize the child. I'm loving my young kings. I come back from work. They always look forward to seeing me. It's to the point that they've become these kids that when they are being bullied on the streets, they don't say mama, they say papa, you know. So I'm proud of that, of how they trust me and the confidence that they have in me. So I'd like to call for other men to do that.
Thank you, man. Very nice to meet you. Really, I think that this is extraordinary stuff. I wish there were more men like you who were in touch with, first of all, their feelings, who were proud of who they were, and who had a means of transferring that pride to other guys who might not have it. Because we've got major social problems in this country.
Big time.
We got a lot to sort out.
Big time. And we really need to thank you, Garrett, for this opportunity.
No, it's great. Yeah, I'm delighted to meet. I didn't know you'd be this interesting, to be perfectly honest. I think we'd talk for 15 minutes and I'd get rid
and
of you.
And it's done, yeah. And then just before we wrap up, Garrett, let me just show you this one. There's this guy. He was in a relationship. He was, you know, one thing that makes him mad is that the girlfriend cheated on him with the guy that's uncircumcised.
Oh, this bothered him?
Big time. It hits him big time, and he's circumcised.
So it didn't bother him that she was cheating. Bothered him that she was cheating with a guy who was uncircumcised.
Yeah, it matters not for him anymore that she cheated. What he's crazy about is, flip, I'm circumcised. She cheated on me with a guy that's uncircumcised. What the hell is going on? To this day, it hits him hard.
What? I mean, what is that all about?
Hey, man, ego. You know, it's all about the ego, the pride. It's hard. It deals with him big time. And until you've been in his shoes, you'll understand what he's going through, you know. So these are kind of little issues that we're dealing with, because you find a man that will simply dismiss other men because they are uncircumcised and he's circumcised.
Yeah, because it's he's not a man.
A man.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't gone on the whole ritual.
Yeah, so for him, it's, I'm a man.
So I've been cheated on. My wife cheated on me with a boy.
With a boy. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. We got some shit to deal with, man.
Big time.
We've got a lot of cultural stuff we've got to leave behind and a lot that we've got to keep working with. I mean,
sure.
We've got to choose the right stuff, though, because if we take all of this baggage with us, it's going to weigh us down.
Exactly.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you both.
Yes,
and all the best to you. There we go. The movement is called Lead Me As I Lead You.
Yes, we are also on Facebook and can find me as Tatana Tinyiko on Facebook.
Very good. Thank you so much, man.
All the best, man.
All right, everybody. That's a wrap on this morning. Let me get to the unnews and then we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Lots of stuff to get into this week, actually. A couple of really interesting guests. So I'm looking forward to letting you in on some of those. Don't go anywhere.
And now for the news.
That's what you need to know.
The news you choose. News to lose or use.
Kylie Jenner is outraged that she can't trademark the name Kylie. She learned over the weekend that there's someone from Australia called Kylie Minogue, who's also kind of famous. Jenner's appealing the verdict, though. She says she doesn't believe this other Kylie is a celebrity and that Australia sounds like some made-up place. Henry Van Breda's murder case is set to start on March the 27th. It was going to be sooner, but Henry is quite keen to get the most out of his summer. This is set to be a long, drawn-out case, so Henry would prefer it takes place when it's raining outside and his friends aren't all at the beach. And finally, Siabelo Sinatla leaves the Blitz box for the Stormers and Super Rugby. The country's leading try scorer in sevens, he will now spend the rest of the season chasing kicks and running aimlessly in attack, as the ball will simply never get to him. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day. CliffCentral.com.